a strength rather than a weakness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finally, your coffee. Great. That means I get to share it with you. Right. Wonderful.
I guess, too, that the celibacy thing, too, I mean, you could still relate to people sexually, even though, I mean, you could probably be able to see the sexual games better if, in fact, you weren't sleeping with them or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel more open about, you know, being able to touch someone. I've always been a physical person, that to touch and everything, and I've withdrawn it a little bit to understand it better, but then in turn it feeds back so that I feel more at ease about it, that it's not going to be any kind of come on, and I don't have to worry about getting myself into a position of, oh no, what do I have to deal with now? You know, is because all of a sudden finding myself in a situation where someone is coming on very strong to me. Mm-hmm.
That's also been a lot of my struggle too, is understanding intellectually or learning intellectually through friends about sexual definitions and having the support from women in Vermont sharing their experiences with me, and at the same time having to go through those experiences emotionally in order to really learn them and in order to really grow. So I feel that struggle of understanding understanding a lot of the power trips, you know, in my relationships with people, and understanding them because of other people in the group's experiences that they're able to share with me, you know. But at the same time, emotionally, I'm still there's emotions in me that are still wanting some of those relationships. And finally, I've gotten in the last month to realize that I have to live those out. You know, that I can't just deny my emotions because I know that some of them are fucked up, you know. That I have to live them out, and that's the only way they're going to grow.
Ravi.
Well, I came out of New York. I feel like I really came from California, but I spent like a long time in New York, and I worked making films with a group called Newsreel in New York, and I'd gone to Cuba to make a film about one of the Venta Ramos brigades. And while I was in Cuba, I didn't feel good about just taking pictures of other people cutting cane and doing everything, especially when the Vietnamese came and everybody was shaking their hands and stuff. I was just pushing this button, and I had decided that I wanted to leave filmmaking and do something. And I ended up going to New York, where I could be do another type of work and live with a group of people. I was living alone in an apartment in New York, which was nice, but it was time for more of a collective living situation. And I don't know, at this point in my life, I'm somewhat confused. I've been in New York for 5 years, mm-hmm. I mean, in Vermont for 5 years, and I really miss New York, and I miss friends in New York. Whatever that past history in the 60s that I shared with people, it formed a certain trust and a certain common experience and a certain understanding that it's very difficult for me to, I feel that when I come back to visit with people here. And I miss it in Vermont. There's a few people that I feel that touch point with in Vermont, but not very many. And so it's been real exciting for me coming down in November for 2 weeks and December for a week. And now in that process for setting up the performance of the theater group brought me more in touch with the city again. And I feel like I want to spend more time in the city and get involved in a work project maybe in the city or something that would allow me to remain in Vermont. Not that I'm planning to leave Vermont and move back, because I don't want to move back to New York, but I would like to be able to be part of the good, positive work energies that I feel from a lot of people here. And so that's what I'm thinking of right now. I'm going to try to, you know, find reasons, work reasons, that I can come down and spend some time in the city doing maybe film work again. cycle. Yeah. And Vermont's been, everything that people have said about the women's community and the greater community and living in a small town and knowing people and the speed, the pace, the beauty. I mean, even if you're feeling bad, you're driving someplace to do something, I mean, you still have that beautiful surrounding around you that can say, wow, God, the sunset's great, or snow looks beautiful in the hills, or the deer, or whatever it is like a positive force. But this time in the city, I found that I've gotten turned on to the most beautiful old lofts and trucks and and fire hydrants that I thought didn't mean anything. So, I don't know. I feel real good about the city.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I've been feeling like I've been missing the link to the cities a little bit too much. I hope you manage to find a way to be coming down here and working, because I'd like to do that kind of thing too, or know that you're doing that energy.
Originally, when I
cut off.
When I went to Vermont, I felt real guilty about going to Vermont. I felt like most of my friends here, I mean, this is not how they felt about me, but this is what I felt a lot, was that I was dropping out, I was quitting, and I was leaving to go live in the country.
Lead a more selfish
existence. To make up for that, well, that's not true, not to make up for it, but one part of the politics at that time was that, well, if we have a large space, therefore we should open it up to a lot of people in the city who can't get out of the city, which we did for about 2 years. We had our house open as a R&R, Rest and Recreation Center, we called it. And we had a lot of people from the city, from different groups, from Lincoln Drug Program, at that time Young Lords, and other people who would come up and spend time. And that was part of my hookup to the city. And I wrote, and people sent us newspapers and information about what was going down. And little by little, over the last 5 years, that stopped. And I all of a sudden looked around, I felt like real disconnected, that I mean, even the politics become country politics on a certain level, and it's okay, but it's not exactly what I feel inside of me, a lot of it. And it's hard to, since the politics, our language in the play, I was real aware of it last time we were performing, because I really didn't like some of the things I was saying, and I realized that that's not really what I was feeling, and it came out of, after 5 years of being away from a certain way of thinking and talking or living, that I all of a sudden found that I had these new politics that some I feel and some I don't really feel are necessarily what I'm feeling now. You know, they were maybe 6 months ago when we were working on the play.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost like I didn't like some of the politics in the play.
Yeah.
Because of that.
I feel like coming to New York has been a real good checkpoint on the piece and on our politics and stuff. And I'm really looking forward to getting home so we can all get together and talk about
what the next process will be.
Yeah.
Well, I sat in the as I walked up to get the props today, I went through some of my lines, and I tried to change my lines for the play for tonight into something that would be more meaningful in some of the places.
The things for me that don't feel right in the play are a certain kind of vagueness and abstract, not really abstract, but more kind of vague words that come out of me inside the play, that I feel like inside the city that there's not the space for that vagueness, that almost you're so cramped and can be trampled so easily that you really, I feel like I have to be really strong and really clear in moving, you know, in the city, you know, that I don't have the space, whereas in Burlington, in the country, I can kind of spread out and kind of be much more watery through the day, you know, and be much more vague, and that's really important to me, that to be able to spread out like that and to be able to not always have to feel so defined and so definitive and so very clear, but that it, I need the balance, and I feel that when I came.
Yeah.
I felt that one since I've been here.
The word balance just keeps coming up again and again and again over the last period of time. Did wow, it's amazing.
Well, supposedly we're all going to kind of come
closer to in contact with our balances before the big apocalypse.
That's a good one. The apocalypse. That's another question that I've been asking a lot of people.
What is it?
It definitely affects my life. I think I have realized that I think about it a lot and that it is in the back of my mind and I constantly see things that feed into it.
What is it?
The end of the world. The beginning of a new one.
Well, the apocalypse, I guess, has its a lot of its history in the Bible. I think that's where a lot of the weight of it is. Revelations.
Okay, Revelations, the Hopi Indians, right. Eastern mysticism, myths, matriarchal society, 12,000 years each, soon a new polar shift to bring us to the androgynous society. I'm incredibly excited about it, but it kind of confuses me as how am I to deal with my life right now? And that's why I feel the need to set up a good, strong, solid base. Mm. And hopefully from there to be able to, I feel this need for the city energy, but to know that there is somewhere that safety that if at all possible to survive whatever the, I really believe, not in a big religious fanatical way, but just in a very realistic way that it can,
I feel like when I think about it, I try to understand whether or not we're going to understand where our leadership comes from or our strength or whatever you want to call it. Whether we're going to know that before the chaos or after the chaos, you know, like it seems like now I'm starting to feel like the chaos is going to happen first, you know, mostly because of the economic situation, I guess, that I feel like people are becoming more and more desperate to try to understand how they're going to make it, how they're going to survive, and that this crosses a lot more class lines than it used to, anyway, and that and when the majority of the people start feeling that crunch, then I feel like they're gonna be much more in a position of being fighters or at least warriors and organizers than they ever were before. And that this might happen before we're prepared for any kind of, you know, how are we going to support ourselves or how are we going to meet that with some kind of strength or who are our leaders going to be or do we want leaders or what's going to be the next stage of development. And I feel like that's why I feel like in terms of my politics, a lot of what I've been feeling lately is trying to understand what this whole thing is about the feminist principle, you know, and trying to talk about that with as many people as possible, because it's not like talking about the revolution or Marxism and Leninism or socialism or any of that, but it's talking about, you know, how do we change ourselves so that we look at things differently, so that we can accept things from a different point of view and strengthen things in a different way than we've ever really thought about it before, with this, you know, idea of strengthening the feminine principle in all of us, not just in women but in men as well, and that it is there and that we just have to try to recognize it and develop it and make that stronger, and then we'll be able to go through those changes more easily, and whatever comes out of it, I feel, will be much more productive, you know, than if we don't try to develop it. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, I guess. I feel the same way you do about something called the feminine principle or the life force and some balance between so-called opposing energies. The thing about the apocalypse is, the end of the world vision, that there's two parts of me. Part of me, I believe that there might be a big horrible thing coming up. Another part of me says everything is process.
Mm-hmm.
It's wacky to think about something horrible is going to happen, so you better change and get good.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel that even though all the time you're working to be getting ready, you know, also things happen. Energies come into your life in advance and things you have to do always before you're ready. And that the leap is to say, okay, I can take it on now, whether you're ready or not. And that's the process. So I'm balancing all the time between this apocalyptic vision and
thing between just going on.
Maybe it won't be an apocalypse as much. It won't be a like, well, now we are going to change, I mean, maybe it won't be as distinctive as that, but I feel like that this country in particular is really going to go through some kind of chaotic period of time, where people really don't know, and it's already started for sure, where people really don't know how to make those changes and what it's going to go into. And to try not to feel frightened by it, I think, is really important, too.
Yeah, I was with a woman the other night in a parking lot in an icy thing, and she slipped and started to fall and started to go backwards and caught herself, and she said, I've got to learn that when I lose my balance, I got to fall forward instead of pushing myself back. And it was such a beautiful little realization about
that's me.
Whenever the rough times come, keep going through. Forward. Don't drop it and say, oh, I can't.
I can't.
The whole thing about don't be afraid of fear, Just...
And maybe by the time it's rough, we'll be so used to whatever that roughness is that it will just feel like part of the process, that it won't be like all of a sudden everything's like, And that's, I really feel that thing about process too, that human beings are so adaptable that they maybe we'll be totally prepared to live in chaos for centuries and centuries. I mean, who knows, and that there'll be a whole other transition.
The way you're using the word will, it might happen, it will happen, it will, and the word will also means taking into your own life, deciding what's going to be.
We'll probably stop at some point and say, wow, we really were in chaos for a long time. Seems really chaotic now.
It could be it now.
You're flashing it out of it.
It's going to get more chaotic, I can't believe it.
That's been my feeling when you all have been talking about the chaos. I feel chaos in my life right now, and I feel it when I talk to other... And the thing about process is that I've just been spending time recently with women who are my age, and we had a long conversation last night about that support when you meet other people who are giving space and validity to discovering a process. Instead of, for me, a lot of times I'm with older people and I feel like I don't have the space to discover my own process, of dealing with my life or my chaos or,
Yeah, and the flashes of calm really make you realize you can, psychical.
Maybe, of course, that's not to say anything about, I feel like there's a whole lot of things that we haven't talked about that all of us, there are changes in all of us, like around sensuality and sexuality and things like that, that have, at least for me, really changed a lot in the last few years in terms of, politics or individual freedom or how it affects my life, and how I see that, I really see other people changing in those terms too, trying to meet more of those needs in themselves, more so than they have in the last 5 or 6 years, for sure.
And I think touch point is a very humanistic, supportive piece, and that it does give good, productive energy to the support in the changes that we all feel, whether we feel, apocalyptic changes in the world or within ourselves or just a cleansing or just whatever, just the changes that people are going through now. Is maybe looking at it in the time period of the 70s after the turmoil of the 60s or whatever, but that touch point does give some really strong support in that process, of the individual in that process.
It's we only have 5 minutes left, and very often we do take phone calls and talk to people, but there really isn't time to do that. And I think that what we should say is that if you want to talk with Libby and Nancy and Serena and Penny and Jane and Roz, that you should come to WBAI tonight, to Studio C, 359 East 62nd Street. I think that...
I just thought of something I'd like to say.
Oh. And that's at 8:30, and they'll be doing Touch Point, and as is the tradition, I guess you always do afterwards, people just kind of stay around and talk and stuff.
Or if they can't come tonight, to Wednesday night and Thursday night, the 22nd and 23rd at West Beth, 155 Bank Street.
155 Bank Street.
Right. Yeah. Yes, at the Feminist Playwright Collective has a theater there.
My uncle is kind of a theatrical person, and I called him today and told him we were in the city to do our piece. And he said, well, what is it? And I said, well, it tends to give people a lot of good energy. It's a workspace. He said, good energy? What do you mean? Breakfast gives you good energy. Well,
see you later.
But it is. It's a workspace. It's maybe not theater.
I think what we could do, Gary, are you there? No, he's, he's pulling out some music. What might be nice is to end with the cart that Jane and it says Unity Players on it, and that will tell people some more information, and it runs, I guess, about a minute, and we have two, I've been playing for the last week, almost every time I've done a program, the music from the King of Hearts, which is really nice. And if we have a little time, too, we could do maybe side two, number one, which we started with, which is really a crazy piece and kind of fun. So thanks, everybody, for coming, and I hope everybody comes tonight.
Hey, thanks. Thanks to you. I've been feeling a lot of thanks lately. Yeah. People have been great.
Bye-bye.
Spread the word.
It's good. Sure smelled like it.
Oh, how come if you smelled something burning, I got up and checked?
Because I was busy?
Well, I was busy too.
Hi, we're Jane and Penny from Unity Players, and we're seven women from Vermont doing theater down in New York. We've got a new piece called Touch Point. We're going to be here on the air from 4 to 6 on Monday, talking about our lives and work, and performing at 8:30 in Studio C at WBAI at 359 East 62nd Street. We'd like you to come.
Came to you live with portions on recording.